So community groups, we really want to focus on community groups this year, really because ultimately we want to focus on discipleship. The Great Commission given by Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples. We want to be a church that embraces that mission. The Great Commission is the thing that God calls us to go and to make disciples. One of the main ways that we believe as a church that God is calling us to do this is by being in community with each other, by being in community groups. And so I want to talk with you a little bit about what that looks like for us as a church. Let's start by looking back to Jesus. I mean, that always makes sense to look back to him, right? So if we look back at Jesus and the calling of the first disciples in Luke chapter 5, we see that Jesus comes up to some rejected people. They were fishermen. Back in those days, the Jewish system was, as a young child, you'd grow up in the Jewish system, and if you showed that you had some type of aptitude for learning, you might be chosen as a young pupil to become a disciple of one of the rabbis. But these particular disciples that Jesus was calling didn't quite make that cut. Truthfully, if you didn't get chosen, to walk in a rabbi's footsteps, to sit under his teaching, to be invested in and to live life with that teacher, your other choice was to basically figure out your career. So for many of these individuals, they didn't make the cut in the religious system to be chosen as a disciple of a rabbi of the day. And so they went and some of them followed their fathers and became carpenters. Some of them took on trades such as being a fisherman. Some were recruited by the Roman Empire to become tax collectors. None of these individuals quite made the cut when it came to the Jewish system. But Jesus often, as God always does through Scripture, often chooses those who others wouldn't choose. And so in this case, the disciples, some fishermen who weren't even that good at fishing this day that Jesus showed up. When we see in Luke chapter 5, he shows up on the shore and they haven't caught off any fish at all. They've been fishing all night and their nets were empty. They were cleaning their nets. They were done for the evening. And Jesus inserts himself. He interrupts their day and he tells them something that's going to change their life forever. He calls them to be his disciples. Many times as Christians, we study these stories. We look back at the life of the disciples in scriptures and we see them as inspirational stories, but truthfully, a lot of times we don't see them as really stories of us being called as modern day disciples. But that's really, truly who we are called to be, disciples like they, being followers of Jesus. All of life is about him. For many of us, when we look to our religious practices, when we look to religions around the world, for many, religion is just a small part of life. You know, life is to be lived to the fullest. We take care of one another. You know, we live lives trying to be happy. And if we decide to be religious, you know, that's just one small part of who we are. But the truth is that God calls us to realize that all of life is about him. When Jesus entered into their time, when he became flesh, when he chose them, he chose to enter their world, but to change their world forever. He called them to leave everything and to follow him. And that's ultimately what we as a church want to be about. We want to be about casting that net into deep waters, capturing people's hearts and souls with the love of God and helping them realize that God has a perfect purpose and a perfect plan for them, not just for part of their life, but for their whole life, calling all of us to leave everything that we have behind and to follow him. Now, Jesus will definitely enter our time. He'll enter our giftedness. He'll enter into the lives that he's called us to live and show us how to use our gifts, our talents, our abilities, our resources for his good and for his sake and for the expansion of his kingdom, as he did with the disciples back then. And so we want to embrace this. We want to realize that The disciples were not just for a time and season back in the early days, but you and I today, in the very same way, are called by Jesus to be his disciples, his followers, to be his students. And this wasn't just Jesus inviting them to a Bible study an hour a week. This wasn't just Jesus saying, okay, on Sundays, I'll see you at the temple. Come and send it to my teaching. Jesus chose these rejected individuals to come and to spend his life with them, to follow in his footsteps. A rabbi would choose a 12-year-old boy, and he would pour his life into him. He would teach him the scriptures of old, but he would also walk through life with him, showing how to handle everyday life issues in the way that would glorify the Father. And Jesus, in the same way, spent the last 3 years of his life pouring into the lives of these individuals, showing them a better way to live, how he was to be the center of everything. And in the same way, Jesus calls us not to just follow him for an hour a week or just as a part of a religious system in our life, but to really discover what it means to lay down our lives and give up everything and follow him completely. And so we want to help one another do that. And we believe that this is centered on relationships, relationships with God the Father, relationships with one another. The greatest of commandments is to love God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. And the second is to love others. And so in fulfilling these two commandments, and loving God, loving others, and going into all the world and making disciples, we believe God calls us to be involved in relationships and in community. And so, outside of the walls that we sit in on Sunday morning, our hope is that we are gathering together in the communities where God has placed us, that we're realizing that each and every one of us are missionaries, that we're called by God to follow him, to see ourselves as teachers and lawyers and doctors and physicians, as missionaries for him. And the question is, do you see yourself that way? Are you involved in community? Are you involved in living the life of a disciple of Jesus? Or is Christianity just another part of your life? Our hope is that in everything we would do, we would see that we are here to glorify God, we are here to impact the world around us, and we are here to see lives transformed for him. So, we hope that as a church, each and every one of us would be putting into our life some habits, some practices to help us develop as disciples. And one of the core ways that we are embracing as a church is through this thing called community groups. We hope that you can dive into one and discover what it's really about to be in relationship, to be living in a way that is impacting others and being impacted by others who are on the same journey together. A community group is more than just a Bible study. Our community groups, they meet regularly. Most meet once a week. But it is more than just a Bible study. We are called to study the Word of God. The Word of God is the foundation and the center of our lives. Jesus spoke the Word and taught of the Word. And so we do believe that the Word is to be the foundation upon which we build our lives. But the Word and the study of it is just one part of a community group. We believe that just like the early church in Acts chapter 2, there are certain rhythms that should be in all of our lives as disciples, as followers, and we want to see these things in our community groups. So let's look at Acts chapter 2 and see what this would look like. Acts chapter 2, basically what's happening is Jesus has lived 33 years of his life on earth. These disciples that we've been referring to have lived the last 3 years of his life, not just sitting at his feet and learning at his studies, but living life with him. Jesus has been traveling the countryside. He's been going from place to place, healing people, taking care of the poor, and meeting people's needs, and doing it right alongside with the disciples. And these disciples now, as Jesus has turned to them, has said, "Now I want you to go and to make other disciples. I'm leaving you behind to fulfill the mission that I've started." And that is the call of each of us as disciples. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, you can't do this without the power of the Holy Spirit in your hearts, in your lives. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. I'm leaving, but I'm sending somebody behind, a counselor who will lead you, who will remind you of everything I've taught you. And as you go, go in the power of the Holy Spirit. Take my mission and reach the world. He says, reach your Jerusalem, your neighborhood where you live. Reach Judea, a little further out, Samaria, a place that they didn't often go to, into the ends of the world. This was the mission, the Great Commission, to go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them everything that I have taught you, Jesus said. So, in our community groups, we do want to get together regularly. We want to worship Him. We want to study Him. We want to focus on Him and how He can change our life. But let's look at what else a community group should be doing. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread. You see, they came together and they understood and embraced the importance of fellowship, of relationship, of getting to know one another. Yes, they studied the apostles' teachings, but they also learned about one another. In our community groups, we want to get to know each other. We want to take time and break bread together, sharing a meal. I'm not talking about, you know, just a quick bite to eat, but really sitting down, eating good food together and having good deep discussion together. And yeah, sometimes it'll take time to get to know each other, to be able to go deep. But this is the goal, is that we'd open up our lives to one another, that we'd learn each other's weaknesses, that we'd celebrate the joys in life together, but that we would also carry each other through the hardship and the struggles, that we would fellowship, that we would join each other in community, getting to know each other and building each other up. They did this and they devoted themselves to this, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They prayed for one another. They cared for one another. It goes on to say that everyone was filled with awe. And why? Well, many wonders and miraculous signs were being done, but here's some of the things. All the believers were together and they had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone who had need. In the book of Matthew, it says that you are the light of the world. Let your light shine before men, so when others see your good deeds, they'll glorify your Father in heaven. Here, they were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. They were devoting themselves to getting to know each other in relationships. And they were devoting themselves to taking care of one another. Here we see a clear picture as they took care of one another, the world around them saw. And the world around them was drawn to this and saw that they were the light of the world and they were there to bring hope. They were in awe because the needs of the people were being met. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, but they also broke bread together in one another's homes, together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. As they lived this way, as they figured out that God was calling them not to be a part of a religious system, not to be a part of an organization that gathered together an hour a week together, as they realized that we were called to be the church, to live the church 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, both in the temple courts and in our homes. And as they did all of this, as they learned to embrace life the way that God intended, life is about Him, Him being the center of all of life, living together, worshiping together, eating together, celebrating the wins, and carrying each other through the lows. This is where God entered their life, entered the middle of everything. And as a result, look what happened. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. There were many around watching and seeing these things happen, not just seeing them go to a temple and worship God, but the way they lived their lives. God, in the book of Jeremiah, reminded the people of Israel that as they were in exile, as they were in a place that they didn't want to be, He reminded them to keep Him first. He said, go and build houses in that land of exile. Go and live there and settle down. Go and plant gardens and eat of the produce. Marry. Let your sons and daughters marry one another. Bless the community and pray for it. If the community prospers, if the city prospers, so will you. This is God's call to us, to be a part of the communities where He's planted us, to bless it, to pray for it, to enter it with hope, to enter it meeting people's needs, to enter it on the mission that Christ has called us to. Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples. And in our going, we are to shine our lights and let other people see our good deeds and come to know our Father in heaven. So our hope is that you, outside of the walls that we meet in on a Sunday morning, will be entering these kind of discipleship-focused relationships in a thing we call community groups. And these can happen with friends you already have. Some of you already have friends that are brothers and sisters in Christ. Our encouragement is that you would live life intentionally on purpose, growing together close to Christ, embracing these rhythms, studying the Word together, praying for one another, meeting the needs as God opens your eyes to the needs around you, the needs of your neighbor who's struggling to make ends meet, the needs of your family member who can't seem to get things together, the needs of your local school who is having a fundraiser and needs help from you as a community member. How is God wanting you to be the missionary He's called you to be? When we begin to live this way in the groups that God has called us to live in, this is how we become disciples. And our hope is that each and every person in Hope Hill Church would be in a discipleship relationship with one another, brothers and sisters, meeting together often, eating together, studying the Word together, and making a difference in our community together. When we live this way, we will see God add to the number daily those who are being saved, those who are coming to Him. Acts chapter 17 tells us that each and every one of us were created with this purpose, that God appointed the time, the seasons, and even the boundaries where you and I would live to be the missionaries He's called us to be. We are called to live in relationship with one another. We are called to be His disciples and to follow Him as He shows us how to impact the world around us. Our hope is that you'll dive in, that you'll join a community group, that you'll learn to live life focused on God, living with others, and glorifying Him. Consider joining a community group today.
Well, thank you, John, for that wonderful message. Up on the screen, you see a map. And if you look at the three little people that are in the center of that map, you can kind of just say that that's John's house. That's where it all started. Our community group, our original community group, really was the people who kind of brought this church together originally, and that was the first Ashland community group for Hope Hill Church. If we go to the next slide, you'll kind of see this is what it looks like today. And as John mentioned in our message, his message today, we're to go out. Well, our world can be viewed as something big, but it doesn't necessarily have to be something big. It can be Prince William County. And as you see, we are spreading apart. Currently, back on that back table, there are 12 clipboards with 12 different community groups that are right here within our county. I know very close to each and every one of you in this room, some just a minute away. John mentioned the three important things that really kind of gear into what community groups are, and those are the three C's. So we're going to talk about the three C's a little bit and what really makes up a community group. The first is community itself. If you don't have community, you're not going to have, obviously, a community group. So knowing one another in an open and honest relationship is really the key to having a really core, good community group. So that's the first C. The second C is communion. And that is growing deeper in our work and knowledge of God. So community groups give us the ability to do that. We can share with one another. We can do Bible studies with one another. If there's prayer needs, we can lift those up. And as we grow with our relationships with one another, we're also growing in our relationship with God at the same time. And then commission. I know that he mentioned commission. It's important. You know, God wants us to go out and let other people know all these great things that are happening. So it's important that that we do that. If we look at the next slide, we know that transformation is only going to happen and occur through community, through relationships. And, you know, we know that it's gritty, it's raw. It's sometimes there's good things that happen, sometimes bad things, you know, occur over the course of the week. Sometimes we're in laughter. Sometimes we're eating dinner with one another. Sometimes we're going out to the movies together. It's all about fellowship and getting to know one another. And that's where the true, authentic transformation takes place. That is the only way that that we're really going to grow as a group. And as we grow again with one another, we're going to grow with our relationship with Christ. The two things that Jesus was really specific about is, starting with the next slide, has to do with what he told us, you know, the great commandment. And Jesus told, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And then he said, secondly, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I've said this before, love is an action word. You know, you can't love someone from your cell phone, texting. You can't love someone from emailing them. You know, love requires you to participate, to be in that relationship, to give someone a hug when they've lost someone dear, when they're struggling with a relationship, giving them a kind word, you know, making sure that there's contact and that you're lifting each other up in prayer. That's the only way that can happen. So in order for you to be able to love one another, you have to participate with one another. And secondly, he talked about the commission, and I know John mentioned this as well. Therefore, go and make disciples all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them. And that word's teaching, and that's the learning piece. You know, we learn through the Bible studies that we're having. We learn through the leadership within those groups, you know, for guidance. You know, we have someone that we can, if we're struggling with something, that we can ask a question. Or if we're struggling with something, you know, in life, that there's somebody there that's going to lift you up and make sure that you're taken care of. And then that way, you can go out and you can share that with other people. You know, and until you kind of prepare yourself for that, it's a little hard to kind of reach out. I thought the best way for you guys really to get a true understanding is actually hearing from some of the community group leaders. So I've asked a couple of them to speak today. Mike Conley is going to come up first, and he's going to talk about what he has experienced with community groups here. Thank you, Mike.
Morning, everyone. In the first service, I described myself as a community group convert in the sense that, you know, I've been with, our family's been with Hope Hill Church for 5 years now, and so when the first community group was formed, Donna said, I want to do that. And I said, why? You know, why would I want to go and spend another night with a bunch of people I don't really know that well? And she got insistent that we were going to do that. And when Donna gets insistent, I generally go along with it. So I joined this community group. And at first, I found it incredibly awkward. You know, you're sitting around with these people, and when you're studying the Word, everybody's on common ground, but when you start getting into the messy parts of your lives, it gets a little more uncomfortable. Now, over time, I found that not too bad for me. I'm a former Catholic, so I'm used to spilling my guts in a confessional, so I didn't really have much trouble with opening up to people. But for other people, that was a little more difficult. And what I've seen as I've gone through multiple community groups now, and right now I co-lead one with Jim Geisler on Sunday evenings, and what I've found is over time, as people really start getting to know each other and really start sharing your lives, our formula for our group is we usually start the evening by going around and everybody just around the room, we talk about our highs and lows for the week. And we give praise to God for the highs and all the successes and the good things happening. And we've dealt with some very serious lows. We've dealt with loss. We've dealt with serious illness and surgery. Just in a recent week, we were dealing with a member of our group with some relationship issues, serious relationship issues. And we just set the lesson aside that night and just talked about that issue and talked about that relationship and then spent the last 25 minutes of our group just praying over it. And so that's what I think we're talking about when we talk about getting into each other's lives and supporting each other. Some of the studies have had a tremendous impact on me. We did one called Crazy Love. And some of you may have heard me mention this before, but there was a line in that book, do you treat everyone as if they were Jesus? And I didn't, I don't, and I never will, because I'm human. But now when I don't, at least I'm a little more aware of that mistake. And so it has touched me that way, and there are other studies that have really impacted me. But that relationship and the sharing of common problems and really binding together has really been impactful to now, from not wanting to get involved. I truly find our community group time together every week the most enriching couple hours that I spend in a week. And so I endorse and encourage. And John talked about the go part. One of the things, we're tied to the Sunday night youth group, and we were in the habit of not meeting when they would have their Sunday fun days because we wouldn't have a facility to meet. But now, coincidentally, David Young and Jim got the same idea about the same time that we're going to start using the Sunday fun days to actually go out and do something in a community to try to impact our world around us. And so we're going to, if that's a formula that works for you, then we meet Sunday nights, and we'd look forward to you joining us.
Thank you, Mike. I'd also like Julie Bermea to come up as well. Julie has, and her husband Al, participated in a couple of community groups, and she's one of those expansion pieces. She's going to start hosting at their house, so she'd like to talk to you as well.
Hello, everyone. I can only tell you that our experience with community groups has been pretty phenomenal. It's been transformational in our lives. My family is a military family, so we grew up in the military, very strict and focused on mission and direction given to us by our commands and just moving out. And we didn't know what we were missing all this time. Our very first experience with community groups taught us that there's so much more, that there's love, profound love beyond anything you can imagine. And those who are currently a part of the communities know what I'm talking about. These are relationships that are built and established that are far greater than what we know to be Facebook friends and just buddies at work. These are people that will drop everything and be there for you and your family. They've laid hands on me and my family in prayer. They've embraced us and just have taught us how to love as well and how to be there for one another, far greater than any experiences I've ever had in my life. These are people that have been with our family through tragedies and difficult times. They have, if our house caught fire right now, without hesitation, they'd open their homes to us. That kind of love and that feeling is something that we've never experienced. We've had the privilege of being a part of three different community groups, most recently Ashland 3, and now we have an opportunity to host one at our home as well, Tuesday nights at 6:30. But I will tell you that, like John said in the video, the meals, so we share meals every week. It's a different theme. So we've had pizza night, we've had barbecues, we've had Italian food night, taco night. My all-time favorite is breakfast for dinner. That's the one I like the most. We've had bacon night. It's all things bacon. But what's been really cool is the opportunity to just dive deep in. So we leave here on Sundays with just this appetite that has been quenched. But during community, we get to dig deep into the Word and share and apply some of those lessons to our own personal lives. And I don't know about some of you have had this experience, but I leave there and the following day I'm like eager to get to work so I can share some of what I experienced during our community nights. And who would ever think that that would lead to a conversation with some of my coworkers and sharing with them something that I may have really felt during all the places we will go, and a conversation with a girlfriend in Texas about Forgotten God, a study about the Holy Spirit. And it's just been transformational in our lives. and I can't thank them enough, the community hosts, and now we have the honor to be host ourselves. So Prince William Parkway is our group. It's Tuesday nights at 6:30, and I welcome you all.
Thank you, Julie. I was introduced to community groups probably about 16, 17 years ago. I was in a pretty dark place in my life. On the surface, everything looked great. I was in a very successful career. I was doing very well from that standpoint. Financially, you know, we were on top of the world, Lisa and I, but my job took me out of my family environment. I was traveling a tremendous amount. Was constantly on the road. Was experiencing depression because of that. Found it very difficult to kind of talk to my wife about these types of things. Was missing my child as she was starting to grow up, you know, 2 and 3 years old. So I remember I was on an airplane and I was kind of hitting, you know, an emotional bottom, and I prayed, you know, for God to show me that there had to be something a little bit more than this, and found the courage through that to ask my boss for a change, and transferred us to Philadelphia, and that was kind of right around the Y2K, about the year before. Remember how, you know, the world was going to crash, and we needed to fix all the computer programs. So I was working on a large project back in Philadelphia, and we happened just to kind of land in a little community. A little Methodist church was right across the street from our house. And I remember, my pastor asking, you know, if I would join a community group, his community group. And I'm not, you know, especially at that time, I wasn't like the touchy-feely, share-my-feelings kind of guy, kind of like what Mike was talking about, you know, where he can just, like, spill it out. Yeah, I keep a lot inside. So, you know, that whole notion was like, there is no way. You know, there's no way I'm going to join this thing. And then it's like, you're sitting there, you're looking at, how can you say no to your pastor when he says, I want you to join my group, you know? And I know Brandy's not sitting in here now. She's back teaching. And, you know, she shared something with me this week. Sometimes people, they share what you need to hear at that moment, and not necessarily everything. You know, they only give you what you need at that very moment. And, you know, the translation to what he said to me wasn't, you know, Rob, I want you to join my community group. What he was really saying was, Rob, I want you to lead the community group. And so it was like 6 different men that were in part of that first initial group, and he mentored us. He showed us what it was like to have true, authentic community, and you know, that has translated over the years. You know, Lisa and I have been pretty much involved in the community group almost all the way since then, in different states and different places. And my community group, we meet on Wednesday nights. And I tell you, I've got a very dynamic group of people. Diane's in our group, and the group has families in it. And you know, we bring a bunch of different perspective together. And we're a family in itself. I know the Hollers, we talked about them. Christina has been hosting that group for almost 2 years. Every week we go to their house and she opens up her home. And, you know, and the food is phenomenal. It absolutely is. But even more so than anything else, it's the relationships with the people that I hold, you know, dear and true in my heart. You know, I don't think I need another meal, but I definitely need that support of those individuals when things kind of go awry. And that's what I really enjoy. So, again, there are 12 clipboards back there. We've got women's only groups. We've got men's only groups. We've got family-oriented groups. We've got adult only groups. We've got every single day of the week covered except for Mondays, and I guarantee you one of them is close by you. So if you haven't ever considered, you know, if there's something kind of in the back of your mind that's saying, I don't know about all this, you know, just listen to God. God is telling you to go back to that table and sign up for one of those groups and get involved. I know that it's going to change your life if you haven't been part of one. And if it's something that you have an experience and you're just not in one now, please make sure that you kind of go through that. And I know that in the back of your head, you know, it's like I've got soccer practice for my kids and piano practice and karate and there's school and there's like all kinds of 1,000 different reasons and priorities that you can find and probably place ahead of a community group. And I just kind of challenge you, you know, I know when God wants to have his relationship with you, when he's out there and he's thinking about the things that you're doing, does he think about you wanting to cut out time of your secular life so you can spend time with God and commune with other Christians? Or would he rather you make sure that you make the time for community group and cut out time from God's time to maybe fulfill some of the other secular things that are going on in your life? And I just challenge you, if you find that you're going through life just making a checklist on things and activities, you know, there's definitely something meaningful in what's going on in a community group. So please, I just encourage you to sign up today.